Thank you for that, Libby. Thank you, missionaries. I appreciate you.
It's a little bit off here. Appreciate you being with us, and appreciate your presentations. I'm going to quote a verse, and then we'll turn to Matthew chapter 9. I'm not going through the discipleship book. I know it's late. Give me about 15 minutes or so. I want to kind of play off of what we have with the missionaries here tonight, and I want to give us a quick challenge. Of course, in Lamentations chapter 1 and verse number 12, a famous verse, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. With our missionaries here tonight, and of course we recently had our missions conference a few months ago, and we've had several other of our missionaries that have come back through on our team that have been on our teams that have been through here preaching. And with the beginning of the new year, I kind of want to wrap it up together. really why we're so passionate about really missions, and the mission of the church is missions. That's what it is. It's getting the gospel out, seeing people saved, and helping them grow in the Lord so they'll go out and see people saved as well. And if church isn't doing that, you're nothing more than a social club. You can have Bible studies, you can do all the other things, you're not a church. Let's be real honest with you. If God wanted us to do those things without soul winning, we can have a better social time in heaven than we can here. But we have a job to do. And so I want to kind of dovetail off of all of that. Of course, in Lamentations here, this is Jeremiah, and this is after the destruction of Jerusalem, and they were all taken into captivity, and the city was destroyed, and it was prophesied. Jeremiah preached about it. The king didn't want to have anything to do with it. He didn't want to hear it. And Jeremiah is walking through the city. He's seeing the destruction. He's seeing those who are left. He's seeing the misery they're in. And the people there that are living it really didn't care very much. And Jeremiah, of course, what's his nickname? He was the what? The weeping prophet. It bothered him. It hurt him on a spiritual level. And he's like, is it nothing to you? Do you not see what I see? Don't you see the destruction? Don't you see the need that the people have? That should really be our response when we look around us today. Now, I get irritated at our landscape and our country. That's why I backed off of some of the social media. I don't want to become, I could very easily get off on things. And sometimes I need to. Our governor needs a little pushback, to be real honest with you. But the fact of the matter is, that's not our major goal in life, although we shouldn't stick our heads in the sand. And by the way, just I'll throw this out, this is free. If we don't like what our politicians are doing, why don't we just quit voting for them? And it's just one color, okay? And think of boys when you think of that color. But I don't want us to get so caught up on that. We don't see the spiritual needs. The spiritual need of our country is way worse than the physical need. Fact of the matter is, compared to the rest of the world, we're fine. We're fine. We don't like the spiritual direction of our country, but because it's hurting people. And we have to see the multitudes, and we have to have the right mindset. Where does it come from? The key is really our heart. When we see people, we see the need, and we see what's going on in our city, we see what's going on in our county, we see what's going on in our state, we see what's going on in our country, and then you can look farther and see what's going on in the world. How do you respond to that? And I'll be honest, we have to be very, very careful when we look. Because we can look at it from strictly like a frustrated, well, what's that going on over there? Those are people who need the Lord. We have to see that. If you look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, very well-known verses, again, dovetailing off of the Jeremiah, the Lamentations quote. We'll make a few thoughts here and we'll be done in a few minutes. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, and we understand this is a really key passage of Scripture, particularly when we talk about the needs of the world. And it is the needs of the world, but it's also the needs everywhere you come, with everybody you come in contact with. Matthew chapter 9 says, and Jesus went about through all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now here's the key. Look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, the crowds. By the way, how many of you don't like crowds? I don't like crowds. Several years ago, our family, it was during Christmas break, and sometimes when these teenagers go up, we'd go away for a few days, and we were going to go to Arizona, and I'll just be honest with you, I wasn't feeling it, and I really didn't want to go. And so I kind of threw that out to the family, like, you know, do we really have to do this? And they're like, tell you what, I hadn't been in 15 years, like, let's go to Disneyland. And I'm thinking, one day of Disneyland, 2 to 3 days in Arizona, I'm in, okay? And we went. By the way, it was bad. It was the first time I've been there in 15 years, and I'm good for another 15. Now, I guess you don't go after Christmas either. It was so crowded, there was lines just to walk through there. It was ridiculous. The only good thing was the lines weren't very long at the Starbucks that they had. And I just made my way in there. You guys go do whatever you're doing over there. So we see these crowds, and here's this big multitude, and they followed Jesus around, and he had to feed them on several occasions, and a lot of them were looking to see, you know, are you going to do some, trick and pony show, and you're going to do some miracle? What did Jesus look at when he saw the crowds? How did he react? But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, and this is the verse we've heard often, but why did he say it? He said it in response to seeing the multitudes. He said unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. As Jesus saw the multitude, it didn't irritate him. It didn't bother. He saw the needs. He saw the lifestyles. He saw what was going on in their life. And in response to that, he said, somebody's got to reach them. That is the gospel. We love missions around here. We support our mission. We have our missions teams. But let me say this. Missions, first and foremost, starts with you wherever you're at. Don't tell me you're going to be concerned with the rest of the world if you're not concerned about people in your own area. A heart for mission starts with a heart for souls. And when you get a heart for souls, you see the need around the world, and you're like, those people need the gospel too. How do you react when you see the multitudes? Well, there's two thoughts I want to share with you, and they won't be long. When we see the multitudes, we should acquire compassion. Jesus saw the multitudes, and it moved him with compassion. By the way, compassion isn't some gooey feeling. It's not just, I feel bad for you. Years ago, I was on my bus route in the middle of winter in Chicago, and I was walking, and it was one of those bad days where there was a lot of ice frozen on the sidewalk, and you had to be real careful. And there was a guy there that had fallen, and I went over there, and his leg was bending in several different directions, and not the one it should have been bending. And now other people were coming to help him. That kind of grossed me out. And I'm like, I'm glad they're helping. I got other things to do. But I felt bad for him. You know how it is when you see somebody hurting? All of a sudden, my leg started to hurt. By the way, I walked a lot slower that day. That's not compassion. That was like empathy, sympathy. No, compassion is doing something about it. Compassion is seeing a need and saying, what can we do to help these individuals? Look at the things Jesus saw about them. And do we not see this in the multitudes in our world today? One of the reasons he had compassion is because they fainted. Now, people faint when they don't have nutrition. People faint when they don't have what they need. Think about our world. Our world has no spiritual nutrition. Fact of the matter is, our society, and even in our country, where we claim to be a Christian country, what is passing off for Christianity in our country is a joke. It's a joke. But in other places, they don't even have that. They need something. Many people just have a knowledge, or they've heard the name of Jesus in our country, but they have no relationship with him, even in quasi-Christian places.
You know what's happened in our contemporary Christian world? By the way, that's not really Christian music. It's garbage music. Oh, that was pretty weak there. Contemporary Christian music is junk. You know what's been happening over the last few years? A lot of these famous contemporary Christian artists are not just backing away from the faith, they're renouncing it altogether. Because they never knew Jesus in the first place. I just read the other day about one. I have no idea who he is. I'm not going to give you his name. But he seemed to me like this guy was, you know, he was teaching apologetic classes and he was doing this stuff. He didn't just renounce his faith. His faith in the Bible was shaken. By the way, at a quasi-Christian college. Just because you know the name of Jesus doesn't mean you know Jesus. They're spiritually starved. And it says they were scattered abroad. They didn't have a group to help them. It was just all these individuals, and they may have been in a crowd, but they really didn't have anybody that cared for them. They really didn't have a spiritual family. They had no one to take care of them. By the way, church is a big deal. And I'll say this because we're coming through a second wave of COVID here. I appreciate it if you're not feeling well, if you're watching online. That's not church. Well, you know, I'm feeling better. I just thought I'd stick at home and watch it. Great, you watched us. You're not having church. Church is here. Now, if you're sick, have at it. Have a good time. I mean, I watched it a few weeks ago when I was sick, and one thing I learned is I'm going to make sure the rug is even the whole time. I wanted to call Brother Chim when he was preaching and say, fix the rug. Okay? But we need to be together. Do you understand? Listen, the world doesn't have that. Friends turn on each other at the drop of a hat. Why? They're not thinking spiritually. When you think spiritually, and I hope we do this in our church family, we put others first. We're considerate of others' needs. And I hope if someone in the church says, hey, will you pray for me, you do that. We have those who hurt. And he says that they were as sheep having no shepherd. They had no spiritual guidance in their life. No wonder Jesus had compassion on them. The things people do to try to find fulfillment in their life. They follow their sports team. They have this hobby. They have some quasi off the wall belief, but they have no guidance in their life. So we acquire compassion. That will lead us naturally to what it led Jesus to. We then assess the harvesting that is needed. Jesus said that. What did Jesus say about the crowd? He's saying there's plenty to help. What did he say? He said, the harvest truly is what? Plenteous. By the way, it's the beginning of the year, and I'm really excited about, well, we're not doing continue on. But I'm excited about our theme, which that's not our theme. And we had all these goals and these visions, and we've got off to a little bit of a slow start this year. But you know what? Let's get back on the bike. We got to reach this world. They just because this second wave is going through, people still need Jesus Christ. Let's not back off. We don't need that. We need to get the gospel. Everywhere you go, people need the Lord. And by the way, how do you see them? They have their t-shirt on with their stupid little worldly philosophy or some woke thing. You know why they believe that nonsense? Because they don't know the truth. They're following the crowd. They don't know the Lord. Everywhere you go, you're meeting people. And sometimes you look at them and say, that person wouldn't take a track. They will. And if, by the way, if you don't offer them one, the answer is no. If you offer them one, they don't take it. Okay, you're where you started. But maybe they'll take it. People need the Lord. The harvest is plenty. You know, we don't pray for the harvest. You don't need to. You don't. It's ready to go. But what did he say? He said there's few to provide help. But the laborers are few. That's the problem. there's no bottleneck at the soul winning times. You know, we don't go out soul winning and it's like there's 50 other people knocking on that block. It's not happening. It's you. You go somewhere and you have tracts in your pocket and you hand out a tract to somebody. That's not like, well, I got 12 of these today. That's not happening. There's people everywhere, but the ones to help them. And by the way, this isn't really the message, but let's get back on board with serving here. And I know we're working on that. We're going forward with it, but let's go. We don't have time for this thing. We need to just get at it. Well, you know, I just want to jump in. I want to be a little slow. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. We just got to get going. There's things to do. There's people, and I know you got your own little thing. You got your thing, and almost that would have sounded really bad. But I know you got things in your life you got to take care of. I get that. But listen, not to the exclusion of not serving God. We don't need less nursery workers. We need more. We need more people to have babies too. We have several months still available this year. We'll schedule that. Just come see us. Okay, we need, there's a lot to do because people need the Lord. By the way, if you're on your bus route, be faithful to that thing. And we still need drivers. Okay, come see me. I'll help you. Say, you driving a bus? No, I drive the shuttle. Okay, because if I drove a bus, we probably would get in an accident. You don't want that. But we look at there's things to do. The labors are few, and we need people. And by the way, you young ones need to be open to what God wants you to do in the future. Don't just listen to somebody that said, well, I got this job, and I can still go to my church and do this. That's great if that's what God has for you. But if God has something more for you, take that. Don't settle for success in the world if God's tapped you on the shoulder for something else. And by the way, a lot of you will. I'll be faithful in my church. I'll soul win, and you're not a bad person, and you'll do that stuff. What if God called you to get out there and do something? You're settling for something else just so you can have money in your pocket. Back to our message. So he gives us a plan, and here's a plan for help. Just pray for laborers. Pray for laborers. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, as he's asking us to pray for people to reach people, start reaching people. Just do it. Listen, we can't, now's not the time to let up on our soul winning endeavors. By the way, we've done really well through this COVID thing. When we started meeting back in church and we got through the chairs being spaced out some ridiculous amount and all that stuff going, we got through that. But people are coming. We're regularly having adults baptized. We have the family, if I'm not mistaken, they got baptized on Sunday. I think they're in discipleship tonight. By the way, the little girl's here. She survived. Okay? Sorry about that. We fixed the stairs because 2 weeks ago, that guy almost did not survive. He slipped. But we painted the little stuff on there, and the heater didn't get turned on in time. And I know it must have been cold for the little girl because it was cold for me, and I had the long johns on. Okay? But listen, that's how it's got to be. I don't want us to look back and say, you remember 20 years ago when we used to do this? I'm glad for the past. But I'm in the present and the future. Listen, souls are what it's about. And now more than ever, people are confused. By the way, don't believe the narrative. Our country is divided, but it's not as divided as our media and all the political elites and push it out to be. It's not like that. You live it every day. You see it. We can talk to anybody. But we have to have the gospel at the forefront. If we're going to love the world and send people to the world, we also need to reach them here. And by the way, I'll say this and I'll be done. I give to missions. I want to take these missionaries on. I want to, you know what? Our missions giving is good. Keep it up. But if we're going to take more missionaries on, then some of you that aren't giving, you need to give. And maybe you weren't here and you didn't sign up. Why don't you start? Why don't you start? We want to get it out there. Anytime one of our teams has somebody that they put into ministry out there, we're supporting them. If they tap on their shoulder and say, this is from our ministry in the midfield, they're going to go out, they're in. But don't substitute supporting for your own personal sharing. What's your thoughts? When you see the multitude, what do you see? Do you see people that need Jesus Christ, or are you getting cynical? He wants us to get the gospel out. Jesus said the problem isn't that there isn't people. The problem is people don't care. And I hope that's not you. Don't let what's going on in your life keep you from caring. Let's get this gospel out. Starting here into the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's stand together, if we may.
We'll pray together. Appreciate the Garlick family and the Faust for being with us. Why don't you, your family, slip out and go to your tables? Why don't you go by and see them? Okay? These are young couples, and they're second and third generation missionaries. Okay? And we want to help them. We're gonna help them. I feel bad, Brother Garlick. I feel bad we haven't already taken you guys on. That's my fault. That slipped through the cracks, but it's not slipping through the cracks anymore. And I appreciate them. Go by and let them know. Get their prayer card. Let's pray for them. Okay? They're doing the work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for what we've seen. Young men who are following in the footsteps and their families, the ministries started and perpetuated by their families. I pray that you'd be with them. Thank you for the group here tonight. And I pray for those that are still going through the healing process and not feeling well, and some of them are at the end of it. I pray you'd bless and be with them. Those that are going through some things, I pray that you'd bless and take care of them and family members. Be with us now, Lord, and until we meet together again on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.